A lot of things going on. And I want to give you my take on something. Because I've been sitting there and watching everything that's been playing out in the media in the past week. I would say in the past week. Hold on. It's hard for me to do two things at once. I know. Let's see here. Wait a minute. Let's see. Media created the... Oh, geez, guys. So what I'm doing right now is I'm going to type out. So I'm going to say media created the Trump woman issue. How's that? Does that work? All right, here we go. Sending it out. All right, done. Finished. Normally, the tweet segments of the program go out before or in the between the commercial, but this time it didn't. I don't know why. It's very bizarre. Okay. So, where was I? Okay. Now, some of this is going to be a little repeat of things that I've said before. But we just gonna keep banging these things into your head until it registers. And if it's already registered, let it be a great song that you listen to over and over and over again. Pretend it's Enter Sandman, okay? And every time a pitcher comes out in the closing, in the ninth inning to close, you hear Enter Sandman. Or it's Thunderstruck every time the hockey team comes out and plays. Either way, it's a favorite. Now, this narrative that we're seeing with the media on women and how Trump treats women. We're seeing something that we haven't seen before. Let me explain. The Republicans and the Democrats want open borders. Plain and simple. They want open borders. It benefits both parties. And it also benefits both parties to never fix the immigration policies in this country. It's a wedge issue. If you really want to get down to it, it's a wedge issue. That's why we're going through this whole cross-dressing bathroom situation, because the gay marriage issue got settled. That whole wedge issue got settled. Once the Supreme Court ruled on it, that was it. Either side couldn't draw money off that issue anymore. So now you have the whole cross-dresser bathroom, so people can draw money on that. So immigration is really a wedge issue. Because you could gin up support for or against with either side. So it's not in their best interest to actually solve the issue. Now, the second phase of that is cheap labor. And both sides want cheap labor. Plain and simple. Both sides want cheap labor. Both sides want it. Big business wants it. And big business donates to both Democrats and Republicans. And then, of course, there's votes. Both sides want the votes. That's why this issue never gets solved when somebody just throws out, okay, pathway to citizenship, no problem, back taxes or fines, okay, no problem. But here's the thing. They're not eligible to vote for 10 years or 15 years. That's always the death nail. Whoa, what? No, what? So immigration has been something that's been created by the left and the right for all types of reasons. And the media has gone along with it because, remember, the media is controlled by big business. And the media uses illegals. Remember, most of the big media outlets are offshoots of other business entities, i.e. the Washington Post, i.e. Amazon. You don't think there's a whole bunch of illegals in Amazon warehouses all over the United States? You don't think so? Come on. The notion that liberals want to try to brainwash you with, that the only jobs that illegals do are housekeeping or nannying and picking fruit, is BS. It's BS. There's thousands and thousands and thousands of warehouse jobs, stocking the shelf jobs. I guess that would kind of be warehouse jobs, but I'm referring to grocery stores. If you go at certain times and they're in the aisles and they got the big skids worth of products and they're bringing the skids of products on this aisle and then it's being put on this shelf and that shelf. So it's not really in a warehouse, it's in the storeroom floor. There's tens of thousands of these jobs. So big business that also has a piece of the media wants illegals. So it behooves everybody. Keep this charade. That's what I like to call a charade of having to have illegals. Got to have illegals. Got to have open borders. Got to have it. Gotta have it. So every 4 years or every year or every 8 years, the whole need to bring the tent, need to expand it. So the Republicans are constantly told they have to expand it or they're not going to win. And then, of course, the experts, as Wolf Blitzer calls them, the panel of experts, which consists of Essie Cupp, and other, well, we call them cucks, okay? These other fake conservatives, these fake Republicans, they sit there and say, the autopsy said that in order for the Republicans to win the White House, they need more of the Latino vote, they need more of the woman vote, they need more of the black vote. But if you get right down to it, the vote that they truly, truly, truly need out of all these categories is the Latino vote. Look at George Bush. He got 40-something percent of the Latino vote, which put him in the White House. There's the proof. Mic drop. So they always rally on that. They always rally on that. Constantly rallying on that. And we've dissected the electoral college map, and we've done it probably 10 different times, where we've pointed out that all of these Latino voters reside in California and Texas. Sure, they're in a few other states, say Florida, even though you're really dealing with Cubans and Puerto Ricans. And if you ask them, hey, are you Mexican? They will just lose their mind. So there's really not a lot of Mexicans in Florida, but we'll play in. You've got Florida, you got Texas, and you got California. So this huge Latino voter turnout that everybody has to embrace, and we have to have open borders, they all reside in three states that are pretty predictable. And no matter how much of a outreach you have going on, that state's never going to flip. And one of those states will flip, but it has nothing to do with Latino turnout. California, always going to be a Democrat state. Texas is always going to be a Republican state. And Florida will always be a state that can flip either way. Either way. Remember, Florida is not Boca Raton. Florida is not Orlando. Florida is not South Beach. Everybody thinks that that's Florida. Everybody forgets that Florida is the start of the South, if you really want to be technical. Everybody thinks that little boot at the end near the water, that tiny little boot down there, you know, right at the end, is Florida. But you got a lot. You got a lot of Florida. And that's the South, man. That's Georgia. That's Alabama. So this notion that you have to have this massive outreach and embrace illegal immigration and open borders is preposterous. Preposterous. But everybody keeps this charade going because it benefits everyone. Benefits everyone. Democrats, Republicans, activists, big business, people that raise money, so forth and so on. And it seems logical that somebody would look at the Electoral College map and they will go, well, there's not a lot of Latinos in Ohio. Not a lot of Latinos in Pennsylvania. There's not a lot of Latinos in Michigan. There's not a lot of Latinos in Indiana. There's not a lot of Latinos in Wisconsin. There's not, I mean, you would think somebody would just apply some logic. You would think somebody would just, but remember, the media is controlled by Democrats, and the media that's not controlled by Democrats are controlled by other big business. I mean, it's been well documented that Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox and Fox News and, oh God, Wall Street Journal, I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on, is a fan of open borders. Why? Cheap labor. So now all of a sudden, and I'm coming around to the women issue with Trump and this whole narrative that's being created. Now Trump comes along and he's doing things that go against what the establishment on both sides and in the media have been pushing. Trump comes along and says, hey, we need to secure our borders. Hey, we don't have a country without borders. Hey, how about just enforcing the policies that are on the books? How about that? You don't have to round people up. This whole Gestapo immigration force is not needed. Just let people do their jobs. That's all. That's it. Real simple. If when we arrest somebody and they happen to be illegal, instead of turning them back out onto the street, if we put them in a detention center for illegals so they can be processed and then eventually deported, we would solve a lot of these issues if we actually tracked all the visas that have expired. Because millions and millions and millions of people come here on an airplane with visas in hand, and then they are expired after 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, a year, whatever. They are expired. Those visas are no good. And we don't track them. We don't do anything. They're here to go to school. Or they're here to work temporarily. And then these things expire. And then they go and disappear. Again, if we enforced the laws that were on the books, real simple, real easy. Real easy. So Trump comes along. He starts talking about these things. He started addressing these issues. And when polling comes out and people are looking at that Electoral College map and people are seeing that, hey, Trump is neck and neck with Hillary in Pennsylvania. Hey, Trump is neck and neck with Hillary in Florida. Hey, Trump is beating Hillary in Ohio. Hey, just these three states would give Trump the presidency. Hey, this goes against the Republican autopsy. Uh-oh. The jig is up. Democrats go, oh, man. People are seeing that this whole Latino voter thing is just a sham. It's a scam to keep the cheap labor, keep the voters that are here dependent on us, because we're going to keep them from being deported, or we're going to keep their friends from being deported. Oh, man. Now people are seeing that it's not a big deal. You don't need to do all these things to win an election, because ultimately, all of these people are concentrated in 2, 3, 4 states. And it really doesn't matter, because ultimately, those states don't decide crap. They don't decide crap. And the states that decide the elections are not flooded with illegals. They're not flooded with Latinos. So this is freaking everybody out. Imagine Trump winning those three states. Imagine Trump winning the White House. It would, it would completely destroy everybody on the left and everybody on the right's argument about open borders and about illegal immigration. I mean, it just destroys it with a sledgehammer. If Trump wins and there was no pander to Latinos, the notion of having to win 45% of the Latino vote is thrown out the window. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, absolute anarchy in the Democrat Party and the Republican Party and big business. I mean, complete anarchy. I mean, serious anarchy. And that's what's happening. Ladies and gentlemen, Florida, Pennsylvania, Ohio, that's it. That's the election. If Trump wins those three states, it's over. If he wins those three states, it's over. It's finished. He will be the president of the United States, and it will be after months and months and months and months of saying, we're going to build a wall. Who's going to pay for that wall? Mexico is going to pay for that wall. It will be after he says we're going to put an end to sanctuary cities. It will be after he says we are going to deport you if we find you, if we catch you. That's the thing that everybody, again, seems to get confused about. And of course, the media creates that narrative. But it's not that hard to find illegals. It really isn't. Really isn't. So, with all this being said, and the media and the left and the right see that ultimately this is not working. The whole Latino anti, immigration, xenophobia, all of that isn't working. So the only thing they have left is the woman card. That's it. That is it. That's all they have left. It's the woman card. Because all of the things that they've been trying to convince everybody that was going to doom Trump, that was going to destroy him, because America isn't like that. He can't talk that way about Muslims. He can't talk that way about illegals. He can't. So that narrative they kept trying to push into everybody's head. Bad, 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 bad. And then they take a poll and they go, what the hell's going on? We are controlling the message. We are controlling every single newspaper. We're controlling every single newscast. We're controlling every single opinion show. We're controlling every single comedy show. We're controlling everything. And our narrative is not working. Oh, man. Oh, no. What are we going to do? So out comes the woman card. Think about how many stories in the past week you have heard about Donald Trump and his history with women. Think about all these stories. Would they just all of a sudden have popped up just out of the blue? It's like a bag. It's like a bag full of ammunition. It's a bag full of ammunition. And they've been pulling out knives and they've been pulling out revolvers and grenades, assault rifles. And every time they pull a weapon out of that bag and they use it on Trump and it doesn't work, they got to throw it away and get a new weapon. Every time. And they're running out of weapons. That's the thing. They're running out of weapons. And it's freaking them out. Because all they got left is the woman card. That's it. You would think that policy would be enough. The elites in the media, the elites in the Republican Party, the elites in the Democrat Party, you would think policy would be enough. Because everybody wants policy. That's what we're told. The American people don't want a president that speaks at the fourth grade level. The American people don't want a president who uses vulgar language. The American people want their president to be full of substance. We're constantly told this. And Donald Trump has no policy. He has no substance. He speaks like a fourth grader. American people don't want this. We're constantly told this. But yet, his poll numbers rise. Even though he has high negatives in certain areas, people kind of look at him and say, well, you know what? My boss is kind of a dick. But I do have a great job. The company I work for is one of the best companies in the world. I have great benefits. My work environment is really, really, really great. So I could deal with the fact that my boss is a dick. I mean, that's how people look at Trump. They go, yeah, he's a dick. He's an a-hole, but he's an a-hole for me. Okay? He's an a-hole for me. And that's good enough. For my life, so you would think policy would be enough when you watch the Wolf Blitzers and all the other pundits, and they got their degrees and their journalism degrees and their women's study degrees, or you read an article from the Daily Beast and BuzzFeed and Vox or Huffington Post or the New York Times, and everybody has their woman's studies degree or their journalism degree from whatever local, state, or community college that's in their area. And I mean, I remember when BuzzFeed and Vox and all those liberal rags kept putting out the story of Trump speaking at a fourth grade level. Even the Republican elitists, like the Ben Shapiros, Jamie Weinsteins, Bill Kristol's, they all talk the same crap. Guy speaks to the fourth grade. Look at these words. Yeah, sure. It's horrible because, you know, we want somebody to speak at a, what, Harvard level? So all the people that haven't gone to Harvard, which, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 million people. I mean, not for nothing, but you realize there are more undereducated people in our society than there are overeducated. And I'm not talking about stupid people. All right. You know, when people go, yeah, that's a real something problem. Listen, that's not what I'm talking about. There's more people that only have a high school diploma or 1 year of college or maybe a trade school degree than there are people that were debate champions on the Harvard debate squad. There's a whole hell of a lot more average folk, not stupid, not quirky from Life Goes On, stupid. But you're average folk, your average person that watches a Hillary Clinton speech or an Obama speech and at least three or four times go, what the hell did he just say? What did that mean? Are we for it or are we against it? What the hell? What? And it's almost like it's almost like the politicians, the people that run our government, do this on purpose. So when Trump comes along and goes, hey, why do we talk like this? Let's talk how we all talk on an everyday basis. Like I've said before, when you ask somebody a question, they don't go, well, Rob, let me explain to you the fundamentals of our life. And as the global security and the apparatus as to which we accumulate, no one talks like that. Yeah, maybe if you've had a joint or two, but nobody does. So all of these things are blowing the establishment's mind because everything that was supposed to be isn't. All their concepts about what America wants and what they're looking for, everything's been shattered. And the last thing they got, so policy doesn't work. Policy doesn't work because at the end of the day, people go, well, he does have a policy. He's telling us a policy in a real basic way. Hillary Clinton's telling us the same policy. It might be opposite, but she's putting it together with about, I don't know, 80 or 90 words that don't need to be there. If somebody says, how do you feel about this? You say, yes or no. What are you going to do about this? A, B, or C. It's not an A and then a long, drawn-out explanation of why it could be B. And then you go and give a long explanation of and why it could be C. And at the end, we the voter, we the people go, so did she say she wants A? Did she say she wants B? Or did she say she wants both? What the hell did she just say? What the hell just, what did I just watch? What the hell just happened? This is bizarre. So all these things are gone. All these things are off the table. So now the woman card is played because we're told that women make up the majority of voters in the presidential elections. And in turn, women are not going to vote for somebody that calls Rosie O'Donnell a pig. It's not going to happen. So now that narrative is being pumped into our heads. And during the Republican primary season, I mean, it's still going on, but when everybody was running, you saw ads that had women saying quotes that Trump has said, rather it was on Howard Stern or The Apprentice, to show that he hates women. He despises women. And that was rolled out during the Republican primaries. But it didn't work with Republican voters. Because he was hitting 30, 40, 50% of the women voters. But now we move to a general election, and we're being told that in the general election, all bets are off. And the women in the general election are different than women Republican primary voters. So now every day there's a new article. New York Times puts out a hit piece that goes horribly, horribly wrong for them. Like, horribly wrong. I mean, the main focus of the piece is a woman that basically, I don't want to say she says none of this stuff happened, but she says certain things didn't happen the way the New York Times reported. Certain things were taken out of context. Certain words were added to the article to make it sound like this woman said those things. So now you had the New York Times reporters, I guess if you want to call them that, they're really activists, going on CNN and actually being called out. They were actually called out for doing such a crappy job. Doing a crappy job. Putting words into this woman's mouth. And then other women have come out for Trump. So this is going on. And then the Daily Beast, and you got to understand something. The Daily Beast is nothing more than if it was a paper, it would be a rag. It's a liberal rag. And all they do is promote Democrats and liberal ideas. That's all they do. They come out with a story. And the best part about this, they used a reporter. I guess you could call him a reporter. And again, it's like all of this stuff is coming from Howard Stern show material or offshoots of Howard Stern. which is, you know, all of this stuff that involves Trump and the mistreatment of women all seem to come from entertainment sources. They all seem to come from the entertainment world. Because when somebody tries to do a serious piece, it backfires on them. So the New York Times can only dig up information that's based around entertainment. So, oh, at a Miss America pageant. Oh, at a modeling event. Oh, at a... And the closest thing they could come to business is a woman 25 years ago saying that when Trump was in her office, he called her hun. And she felt that was demeaning. The piece didn't say that Trump got up, went over to this executive and stuck his hand up her dress. It was, okay, hun, thank you, dear. Everything else that is quote-unquote questionable has to do with the entertainment world. So the question is, where does entertainment end? Where does real life begin? Are we judging people based on entertainment lives? What are we doing? What are we doing? Because the Daily Beast article, the headline says, Trump denied dating model, called her a effing third-rate hooker. And it go on to talk about how Trump was interviewed by Chauncey Haden. Chauncey Haden, those of you who remember Chauncey from the Howard Stern Show, he used to do Steppin' Out magazine. I mean, this is old, old school Howard Stern. This isn't new Howard Stern, you know, where he got married to the young girl, stopped making fun of celebrities, started hanging out with quasi-A-listers, did America's Got Talent, you know, that it's not that. It's Fart Man Howard Stern. So this interview, Chauncey Haden, I mean, why don't you just bring out some interviews or some conversations Trump had with Crackhead Bob? Like I said, it's amazing that these are the things that the media is marching out. Howard Stern interviews. Chauncey Haden interviews. Examples from beauty contestants and competitions. They don't highlight any of the women in the Trump organizations that have prominent roles. No. Of course not. Why? Because they've used all the weapons against Trump and none of them worked. And the woman card is the only weapon they got left. And if this don't work, they are effed. If this don't work, they are effed. It's over. So this Daily Beast article is basically about a girl who says she dated Donald Trump. She was a 43-year-old Ukrainian-born Playboy Playmate. It's a 2004 interview. 2004 interview. So you're talking 12, 13 years ago. And it's a girl that supposedly dated Trump, and she said he was arrogant. He was really into himself. He was an a-hole. And he has bad hair. And when Hayden called Trump and said, hey, this woman said that she dated you, Trump said, listen, I didn't date her. Didn't date her. Now that I'm doing the Celebrity Apprentice, I got girls coming out of the woodwork saying that they dated me, so forth and so on. But I didn't date her. And if you look at her, I wouldn't date her. I wouldn't date somebody that looks like a effing third-rate hooker. And that's it. That's the article. That's the article. That's the front page article in the Daily Beast. That's what they pulled out after the New York Times hit piece. An 11-year-old interview where a half-ass whack packer from the Howard Stern show interviews a woman who claims she dated Trump. Chauncey Hayden then calls Trump to confirm this. Donald Trump puts her on blast. Says she's a cuckoo bird. She calls the office 10 or 15 times. And that she's a third-rate whore. She's a hooker. That's basically what he said. She's a hooker. And this comes out. Daily Beast blasts it. Trying to get traction from the New York Times article. And then today, and this is what I love because they call it a pro-Clinton super PAC, which it's Priorities USA. But Paul Begala is the boss of Priorities USA. Paul Begala is intricately involved with Priorities USA, and yet he's a pundit on CNN who bashes Trump. Fascinating. It absolutely fascinating to me. It's just absolutely fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. So now you got this ad that has, and it's basically similar to the Republican ad. It's basically similar to the Republican ad where it has various women saying the things that Trump has said about women on various comedy shows or various entertainment shows. So now Paul Begala's Priorities USA Super PAC is doing the same type of ad. And it's running where? Can I hear it? Where? Pennsylvania, Ohio. It's basically running in all the states that right now Hillary Clinton is either losing or tied with Trump. The woman card, my friends. It's the woman card. That's all the Democrats got. That's it. That's all they got left is the woman's card. And I asked the question, say 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, are women this stupid? Are women this stupid? Are women in this country that stupid, that mindless, that they all vote as one? They all act as one giant pack of rabid animals? That if one independent, thinking, successful woman sees an ad, that has another woman taking words out of context, because remember, they're out of context. When an ad takes a snippet of something Trump said to Howard Stern about Princess Diana, I mean, that just shows you how dated some of this stuff is. Or somebody like that. And it's not in the context of a comedy show. Granted, the show is off color. Show at times is vulgar. But nonetheless, it's a comedy show. Are Democrats and never Trump Republicans betting that women are mindless, ignorant pack animals? That they would look at that ad and go, oh my God. Oh my, you know what? I liked him. I think he'll be a strong leader. I think he'll be more honest than Hillary. But you know what? He said that Princess Di wasn't a 10. Oh my God. Ugh. I'm not voting for that pig. I am going against my principles. I'm going against my judgment. I'm going against everything that I was brought up to believe and brought up to feel. And I am going against everything that is me as a human being, because this person was on the Howard Stern show and he talked about a woman's breasts. Oh, that's it. Who do you want me to vote for? Who? Oh, you want me to vote for Hillary? No problem. Vote. Oh, you want me to vote for crazy Bernie the socialist? Okay, no problem. I will vote for anybody, even if that person does not represent who I am or what I want as a woman. I'm going to go against all that because they didn't talk about Princess Di's boobs. Really? Really? Are women this... Are they stupid? And this is going to come out every day now. Every single day you're going to see a new story. Every single day you're going to see a new story. Every single day you're going to see a new story. Policy didn't work. Muslim ban didn't work. I mean, think about this, guys. Think about this. Just think about this. Banning Muslims. That didn't work. Talking about enforcing our borders. That didn't work. All the things there's paused. None of that worked. None of that worked. The American people are fine with all those things. They're fine with the fourth grade speeches. They're fine with yes or no policy issues. They're fine with deporting illegals. They're fine with putting a halt to Muslim migration. I guess you could call it that. They're fine with all those things. They're fine with it. But what the Democrats are betting on are the American people are not fine with their future president on the Howard Stern Show. Seems like a desperate gamble to me. Seems like a real desperate gamble to me. Seems like they're pulling that one last weapon out of the bag because that's all they got left.